Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for our consideration today is our 1 Corinthians text, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. The subject I want to bring up with you today and discuss is what I'd mentioned earlier, the reason for which we have been redeemed. You have been redeemed to redeem. Paul, in our text here, talks about the life in a congregation. There are many things that can cause a congregation of the Lord, both an individual congregation, the domestic church, for one thing, actually, even in the domestic church, a local congregation at Senate level and at global level, that can make the church either healthy or sick and ineffective. This is what Paul is dealing with here, about worldliness and spiritual immaturity in our midst. What is the effect of it? Paul begins, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Envy, strife, and division. When we see these things in a congregation, they are a clear indicator of either just flat-out unbelief, or a very immature Christianity in our life, very immature faith. You see, it's hard for a pastor. Paul is shepherding the Corinthian church. And you'll notice how he starts out with, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ." What was the apostle saying to his flock at Corinth? "Grow up, you bunch of babies. You're acting immaturely." That's a hard thing for a pastor to say to his flock. You're acting like children. You're acting carnal like worldly people. I wouldn't dare go that route. I know that sometimes even when I'm addressing my beautiful wife, Mary, and I get into that teacher mode sometimes, and I begin to treat her like a child in how I'm talking to her, when she turns around with that look in my eye and say, "You keep going that way, and I'm about to kick you in the weeds." It's got to be hard for Paul to say this here today, right? You're acting as a congregation like a bunch of children. You're carnal. And how was that carnality and that strife being manifest? Well, the first thing was envy. And how was envy within the congregation being manifest? By the people already taking worldly sides. "Well, I'm of Apollos," or "I'm of Paul," or "I'm of Cephas, Peter." Is that not carnal thinking? And what is it? It's about envy. It's about actually going back to those three original sins that when Eve looked at that fruit, she saw it was good for food, the lust of the flesh. It was good to look at. It was pleasing to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And that it was good to make one wise, the pride of life. But you see, the pride of life manifests particularly in many of these things that Paul mentions here today, especially about envy. When we want to see the best teachers or the way somebody speaks, or it's about taking and putting our trust in men and exalting the gifts that God has given to certain men within our midst. And it causes division within the congregation. More than that, it causes envy within us. That in itself on an individual basis has to be dealt with, because it's a serious thing how we conduct ourselves in the house of God. You see, even in our day, not only does it does it affect a local congregation from past pastors? When a new pastor comes in, there can be that. Often, even like St. John, we had a pastor here, you had a pastor here that was here for almost 30 years. Those are big shoes to fill for a new pastor. But well, you know me, I'm not an insecure person, so I'm not saying that. It is hard to fill, but it's a human thing. It also causes division at a Senate level or even at a national level within the churches. Our denominational divisions within the church today. I'm of Luther, or I'm of Calvin, or I'm of Rome, of Peter. Those are carnal divisions within Christianity. And we need to look at them because they make the church unhealthy in its functions and what we believe. What is the faith that we cling to? Paul says, first of all, you need to understand that Apollos, as a teacher, he must have been a great orator. There's much written about him. He was strong in the pulpit. He was a great teacher. And men automatically were drawn to him. He was probably a very charismatic individual as well. Paul, on the other hand, because he had been given such great revelation, he was a certified apostle, called to proclaim the good news to the Gentiles. Paul had been caught up into the third heaven. He had seen things that man can't even speak of. Like John was caught up, and there was times when he heard the thunders and he heard the things proclaimed, and it says, do not repeat those. And so because he had received such great revelation, God allowed a messenger of Satan to buffet him in the flesh. Even like Satan went out from the counsel of God when talking about Job, and God says, you can test him, but you cannot take his life. Satan went out and affected the health of Job, tortured his flesh. Well, two, a messenger from Satan buffeted Paul. He had an eye disease, they believe. That's why he had Luke, the blessed physician, follow him, who wrote also the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. He was kind of Paul's secretary because Paul couldn't read. He couldn't read and he couldn't write so well. And he must have been a mess to look at. Where Apollos was dynamic, powerful speaker. But they both had different gifts. So Paul says, I plant and Apollos waters. But what we need to see as Christians is that it's God that gives the increase. Paul says, I'm really nothing. Even though I'm called to an apostle, I'm really nothing. Neither is Apollos. We're nothing other than gifts in the hands of God to serve you. The pride and glory, the apple of God's eye, the redeemed. Looking at this and understanding that God gives gifts to each congregation. And the whole purpose of our redemption, the reason that the apostle brought and was sent into the world, into the Gentile nations to proclaim the gospel, is to redeem the Gentiles to God, to make them the Israeli of God. And in each congregation of the Lord, he gives multiple gifts, not just teachers and preachers. We're just one of the many gifts. And not really one is better than the other, because we're just serving different functions. But within this congregation, we've been given other teachers. In fact, Paul, when talking about this, he says, you know, you're still babes. You need milk instead of solid food. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, which Paul wrote as well, he says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Since what time? Well, in our Lutheran congregations, we were all baptized into the faith as a child, or maybe we came in as an adult at some time and were baptized in the faith. We were trained and raised in the scriptures to know the doctrines and the teachings of Christ, to come in not just a head knowledge, but to come to know him, to have a relationship with him. That's really what it's all about. And that in that growth and that knowledge, as we grow up, feeding on the word of God, learning to discern what's good and evil, but also coming to the knowledge that God has given us a gift. Some are called to be teachers and preachers. Some are called to be Sunday school teachers. Some are called to be ushers. Some called to do technology and run the sound. Some have been given the gift of music to sing and to play and to make music before the Lord. The young men to come up and be acolytes and serve at the altar of the Lord. Those gifts are in every congregation. Every congregation. And why don't we see them here? Because of carnality and brokenness in the body of Christ. Why are not the pews filled? Because people don't realize their calling in Christ to be not only that you're redeemed, to know you're saved, that's important. But God has made you an instrument to serve others in the body of Christ and to redeem others. Be an example in the world. One of those examples is doing whatever God gave you as a gift in the congregation. They should be abundant here. And it's not just here. It's in this condition that our culture and the world has put us under is affecting every congregation out there. Oh, there's some exceptions where you might see growth, maybe for the right reason, maybe not for the right reason. But the reality is we need to look at our own body. How is it? Is it healthy or is it waning? Do we have issues? Do we have issues of immaturity and not knowing the Word of God? And not only knowing it, but serving the Lord in the gift that He's given us. It's an important thing if the church is going to be healthy. And I think everybody, every mature Christian can look out there and say, there's a problem. We have a problem. How do we fix it? Well, I believe that exactly when we sit and listen to Paul today and we understand what his heart is, that he says at the end of this, he says, you are the temple of God. You are the building of God. He wants us to continue to be workmen that build up this edifice known as the body of Christ, the church of the living God. And he's given us gifts at every level for doing that. How are you doing at serving the Lord? Do you know your gift? Are you present in serving this congregation? Or any congregation, are you busy at serving the church at large? Because your gift has been given to you. You have something to do. And that, by doing it in the midst of the congregation, is a witness to your healthiness or your absence to your unhealthiness. You see, it is an important thing that we understand that God wants all of us to grow up into Christian maturity, to be able to discern good from evil, to be a light to the world, as we heard last Sunday, where God says, you are the salt of the earth. By the very act of God redeeming you, He's made you salt. That's to stop the rot, but also a light. As people are floundering in the darkness out there, He's called you to be a light. It's like a ship that's lost in the darkness out at sea, can't find its way. That's really unredeemed humankind. They're in that condition. But then all of a sudden in the distance, they see a lighthouse shining its light, giving it direction on which way it is to go. That's you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Encourage yourself not only to go an extra mile for the service of your congregation and to the Lord for His purposes. If you don't know what your gift is, ask the Lord, what is my gift and how frequently should I be using it? Lord, am I being a light to the world? I do want to shine for you, Lord. See, that's the prayer we need to be centered in. Is asking the Lord, you've given me a talent. Am I hiding that talent? Or am I using it to your glory? Because again, as Paul says in this text, it really isn't about our individual service. It's about God who has given us the gift and wants us to increase, not only in our own spiritual growth, but for the benefit of others. So today, let your light shine. As we approach this Lenten season, again, that can become a center for your prayer. Ask the Lord, Lord, am I faithfully using your gift? Lord, am I being true light to the world? Those are the things you can be. And you know what? He will answer those prayers. As you go into Lent and you withdraw from the world a little bit, you draw closer to God, as I said earlier, again, he will give you knowledge. He will give you light. But when he gives you light, it's meant to give it away. It's meant to reflect his glory and his love for this world. That's the reason he gave his only begotten son. Because he does not want the world to perish, but to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth in Christ. That's what we're here for. We have been redeemed to redeem. Amen.